Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions. Chris McCabe here. I am sitting down to talk to Drew Morgans of Marknology. Drew, how are you?
Good, Chris. Happy to be here. Always look forward to connecting. I know we talk quite a bit through social and the chats and whatever, but it's fun to have a little bit of dedicated time to kind of just share what we're working on and the pulse of the industry.
Yeah. And it's a good time to be doing that with Q4 more or less around the corner. I think we've started living in a world where as soon as Prime Day ends, Q4 practically begins.
Yes.
Maybe not the sales, but the prep part. So I thought I'd ask you first about mistakes you have observed, whether it's either on the agency side or on the brand owner side or both. Maybe sometimes it's a miscommunication or a disconnect, but what mistaken thinking or mistakes do you think you've seen people do in like the August, September lead into Q4 peak holiday?
Yeah. So for my first couple of things to add are not necessarily time-based, but just like mistakes that are happening, you know, whether it's Prime Day prep or post or whatever that could be for any kind of holiday or event you're looking up to this year. As you know, a longer Prime Day, you know, different results and you're comparing year over year. We had a mistake or an accident happen within the agency. Just for transparency, it was like, this is a deal we have like almost evergreen running, which is like a 50% off for friends and family. Mm-hmm. And this is something, you know, if you've been an Amazon seller, you know this, you know, but we're a team of 30 and I can't even truly say that it was like one of our mistakes. You know, it was maybe even a glitch. Maybe it didn't go right through as a bad internet or whatever it was, but essentially we had an item that is a primary driver of sales on this account. And we added the 50% off friends and family, but it applied it to the whole listing. And, you know, it's on the promotion side. So another thing was we didn't see PPC go through the roof. We didn't see the listing increase in sales any more than normal because it's a medical product where you're only needing it if you have an injury. And so there wasn't like this, oh, this is a deal on a purse or an iPhone case or let's all jump on this. It just had the normal buyers, but ended up being about like an $8,000 mistake through discounts. And part of it was like a perfect storm. We were moving to like a profitability software. We were in between them before getting it plugged back in. So we didn't see anything there. Brand owner didn't say anything. We didn't see any blips as far as like PPC jumping or sales jumping or like any of that. So it was like almost like when at the end of the month at profitability, seeing that we had some codes or some discounts in place that ultimately weren't sustainable. And it was not till like several weeks later after the fact that you see the damage done.
There's a lot to keep your eyes on all the time. I admire you guys for doing full account management, full brand management, because it just seems like you have to keep your fingers in so many pies all at the same time. That must be a lot to cope with.
Things that you're like, well, if that's the case, you know, so like we've done this before where we maybe stack too many deals together or something. Mm-hmm. You was out of a product and you're like, okay, it's out of coupon and then let's do a deal or a BOGO. And then PPC starts taking off because the deal's so good that people are buying it and your advertising is converting and you're just like seeing the sales. Your goal was to sell through this item and you're doing that. A lot of times in the recap that you're like, well, that was really great. But one, those sales didn't help us ongoing because it was, like, you know, and then secondly, we didn't really see or we didn't really have a great understanding of how all these deals work together to discount the product and we're just pushing it. And so it's like, it's an after the fact. But generally in that case, you see PPC rise, you see sales rise and you're all tracking it. And bring it back to this example was like, everything was steady as she goes. And we were still making a mistake on that. So whether you have software like that alerts you when things change or you have a regular look at profitability. I think when it's coming into the holidays, I love talking about that word profitability because at the end of the day, you can sell $1 million in stuff. If you're not making any money, like, you know, you're not making any money. Right. And it's things harder for yourself. So add the deals, think of the discounts, the lightning deals, the holiday promos, the Prime Day deals, but you really have to have a good understanding of your margins and what your plan is and how to get there. As far as compliance, we had an issue recently. And this comes down to like just how much work and how much due diligence can you do as a full service agency to still be at a competitive price and be able to compete with other teams out there, whether it's someone coming in house or whatever. And we were launching a product. So we're getting some sales through Prime Day and got on a competitor's radar and they flagged us for using a trademarked word that they have. Okay. Well, when we launch the product with SEO, our process is to research what everybody else is doing, reverse ASIN lookup, come up with keywords, write good copy, make sure the images are reflecting that, et cetera. We send it to the brand, whether the brand's doing this in-house or not, like similar process. And, you know, you review it as a team. Like, is there anything that you see that's a red flag here? Or like, you know, any words we should be using? No. So it went through our team and it went through their team. We're launching it and they filed a trademark infringement against us. The listing got taken down and yeah. It was about 10 days to get it back, I think, you know, yeah. During a pivotal time of a launch. And then we having a meeting about it. Like, how do we keep this from happening in the future? How did this happen? Like, you know, because if we're an agency that's getting paid to do it or a team that has experience, whatever that is, we're supposed to stop those things from happening, you know, and through two revisions with the brand. It went through our review team. And it's like, do you have an entire person who just focuses on compliance and a trademark, like how much time do you spend ahead of it, like, you know, trying to get that complete list from every competitor out there that might have trademark terms or certain things like that? And it is kind of this, like, how do we have enough time in the day to do all of that and not get in trouble, you know, much less the brands that don't have any of that experience that are just trying to launch products and fumbling as they go.
I think as margins are shrinking, profitability maybe going lower, some brands making less money than they had in prior years. My sense was some of them were going to go it alone on a lot of these things, make some mistakes that were going to cost them money, and then maybe rotate back or rotate towards hiring an agency anyway. So I'm trying to talk to people and figure out, or get them to figure out, what are you capable of now? How long is it going to take you to learn something that you really need? Is it 6 months, 4 months, 2 months, 10 months? And then make a decision whether or not you need help based on that. Because sometimes it's the same with appeals, right? If people say, well, we've done this before and we've appealed ASIN takedowns or policy warnings before, you know, great. So you have analogous experience. Does that mean you can handle all types of appeals, some types of appeals? And also, does it mean you can resolve them eventually or resolve them quickly?
Right. How long?
Well, that means, I mean, if we're all floating in a universe where every dollar matters, and competitive is as fierce as it's ever been, then you can't afford to just eventually figure stuff out, whether it's what you're talking about or what we do. So I'm encouraging people, like, figure out now, today, or the first day that something goes wrong, maybe, if you have the chops to fix it yourself or not.
Yeah. And what's your Rolodex? Is your Rolodex lined up? Like, do you know if you're going to do it yourself?
Yeah.
Do you know who to call when stuff hits the fan, or do you know who to go to whenever you get in trouble? That's a way of doing it too. But I think a lot of times they're like, well, I need to now go do research to find e-commerce Chris to figure out who that is, versus being like, I know who to call. Or like, I think something we talked about going into Q4, this is the time to make changes if you're going to make changes, is like, you know, July, August. By the time you're in September, you're setting up deals or promotions or certain things, but you shouldn't be all the way down to October, November, making changes on your listings and getting yourself in a scenario like this. I think another thing that you can do to, like, let's say mitigate that listing that got suspended for having a term in there that was trademarked by another brand, is have a very simplified version of your content and copy, like a bare bones version ready to go. Versus needing to then go to your designer. Maybe you have a designer in-house, maybe you have to hire a freelancer. I don't know where everybody's at, but if you have that term in your A+ page and you have it in your copy, you're not having to go get a designer to make the change, to get it back up, you know? So this is a way that if you're going to take those risks, know who to call if something happens, have content backed up on your primary listing so you can act fast.
I see that most with people who need legal help for intellectual property matters, like you just mentioned trademark stuff. A lot of people just kind of randomly Googling stuff and then just whatever attorney pops up. No one's asking, like, what's your intellectual property experience? I hear a lot of brands who are like, I found a lawyer. And my first question is it somebody with a lot of IP background? And you know they're an intellectual property expert and they also have some familiarity with Amazon stuff. Well, they have familiarity with Amazon stuff, but I'm not sure if they're an intellectual property expert or if that's their years of experience. And I said, well, that's pretty important. You're not looking for a general practitioner here. If you break your foot and it's a bad break and you need surgery on it, you don't go to a general practitioner.
I was about to say, you're not using telehealth when you need heart surgery, you know?
Yeah, or you don't go to like a neck doctor when you've got cardio problems. I mean, it's the best analogy I can think of, but I still see people. I had a conversation about that on a consult yesterday. And it's like, I'm always saying that, you know, the same handful of lawyers pop up in the Amazon space a lot. None of the people that were mentioned to me yesterday are intellectual property. And the entire problem was intellectual property based. So you got to like make those decisions and prepare that now, not like, oh, I'm going to cast about once I need it. I mean, I know day to day things are hectic, things are busy, but at some point you got to prepare for Q4.
So. Yeah. It's the appeal process. It's the diagnosing the problem when it happens.
Yep.
It's how important is that listing? Is it a low selling ASIN? Is it the main majority of your business? What is that opportunity cost for every day that you're down? You're losing rank, you're losing sales, you're losing all of that. And coming
into your account health, even if it's not a top selling ASIN, you hurt your account health by leaving it unresolved.
Yes, exactly. And you don't know what you don't know. So like, you know, I hope those, a couple of those examples are just like, look, I've got 15 years of experience. You know, team members got tons of experience. We still make mistakes. You know, we're seeing all the sales coming through. We're like excited about it. We're trying to close out some inventory. We're seeing it all come through. We still get to the end of the month P&L and we're like, how did this happen? You know, we've done our calculations. How do we get here? And, you know, in 2 weeks time, we had turned it back around and we're back on track because we're able to move quickly and adjust. But if you don't have that experience, those mistakes are still going to happen and you're just going to be slower to the ball to figure out what to do. So when it comes to compliance, when it comes to seller tactics, like knowing what category you're in, you should have some awareness to know what category you're selling in and how ruthless the competition is. Yeah. I feel like there's an influx of new brands selling on Amazon that aren't these experienced sellers that have like years of experience behind them. They're retail brands, they're direct consumer brands coming onto Amazon with a team and just not having a lot of understanding about how long an appeal takes or how long a suspension takes or what to expect or some of these things they can do to combat that. So maybe experience in other areas, but low experience in the Amazon space, but still, they're still coming. You know, you think like that we've been in the space 10, 15 years, everybody knows everything and that's just a bad assumption. There's still constantly new players coming to the game and people trying to figure out, you know, the best way to protect the brand.
It's interesting. It's been an interesting year with what we're doing. People are departing the game. There are no new players. People are leaving because they're sick of, I think appeals are getting tougher. We're not perfect. We're going to have some times where we misdiagnose a problem and have to double back on it. I think that happens to anyone troubleshooting emergencies or new information comes to light and you incorporate that once you know it. But what's different since the last time I spoke to you is fewer people seem willing to do the long, hard slog of the appeals strategy process. And the days of like somebody saying, I just need a document, like an appeal. I just need one appeal. And it can be a template or it can be whatever, but I just need one thing. I think now it's understood that no, you need like a cohesive strategy.
Yeah, you're simplifying something that's very complex because you want to, but it's like, would you go to court for the custody of a child or, you know, something very important? I guess I'm trying to think of something important.
No, that's a good example with a template.
Like a template appeal or like on a whim or like something that you think might be a good lawyer. No, this is your child or this is like, you know, something very important to you. You're going to make sure you have your case. You're going to make sure you have all the details. You're going to slow down so that you can speed up. You know, you're going to do all those things. And whenever you're doing stuff late or you're not doing stuff because you want to save some money. So you start with an agency 2 months later, or you like, because we want to be ready for Q4, you do things like, you know, you get what you pay for. You do things the cheap way. It all kind of adds up. And it's like, okay, now you ran into a problem and we're behind schedule. And now we're trying to like shortcut the thing. And it's like, you know, you don't want a doctor prescribing you like a very serious medicine without having a clear understanding of all of your health. You know, your before and after and all this stuff. It's like, you wouldn't give somebody some of these serious drugs. Your health. Well, we're not trying to do the same thing for your business either. And that's something that's like, I just think there's some areas that can be go, go, go. Let's go move faster. Let's try to move faster on things. But when it comes to compliance, when it comes to suspensions, when it comes to like, look, you're arguing with a giant of a company that is Amazon at times. And if you're going to debate with them, which is already a bad idea, you're going to do that. You need to have your ducks in a row. You need to have your facts. And as an agency working with the brand, a lot of times, you know, everyone's trying to be honest, but they'll tell you what happened or they tell you what they did. And there's still some gray in there that needs to be interpreted. And you need to read between the lines to get the whole story from them. And if you just like react on what they're telling you because they're embarrassed or they don't know what some other employee did or whatever, then a lot of times you end up with an appeal that's getting rejected or, you know, something like that. And so you've delayed progress and delayed sales more. So I guess what I'm trying to say with all of that is just have patience around certain issues, and know where to go to and move with caution when it comes to if you have heavy hitting listings or hero ASINs or stuff as we come out of, you know, June. For me, there's Prime Day is in July because June, July, August has historically been very slow. Right. Like it's a slow selling season. That's why we have Prime Day, right? So we're still, even though they were still in that slow selling season, this is the time to get ready for Q4. This is the time to paint the outside of the house or whatever, you know, like whatever you can do to make up your listings, make them look good before we come into Q4. But, you know, this is the time to prep. This is the time to get your battle plan in order and you know, supplies ready to go.
I'm curious, do you get people who had a slow Prime Day who ask you to form a Q4 plan at this time of year? Like, kind of last minute, but they're like, you know what? We did it ourselves or we used such and such an agency. It didn't pan out. Slow Prime Day, slow year so far. So we really need to rally for the second half of the year or for Q4. Did they ever approach you August and say, what can you do for us?
Yeah, that does happen. I wouldn't say a lot of the combos I have with brands like it's a slow sales process where it's several months of us talking together before we pull the trigger. Or like, you know, they're shopping around. That's what's happening. Yes. It's less like of this, like, hurry, hire me, like we're dying, you know. But there is this push generally around August, September to like make another push. And sometimes they're leaving another agency. Sometimes they've been doing it in-house and they're stuck. And, you know, if I'm anything, you know, I've got a decade worth of content out there. I'm consistent in my feedback. And what I'd say to that is just the only way to have a successful partnership or relationship is clear expectations. So I am not the guy to false promise things. I am the clear expectation guy. That's who you get with me. You know, I'm going to budget under and hope that we crush it over. And you know, I tell brands that when they're coming to us, which is like, hey, we're not a miracle worker. Like, we're going to try to assess what worked or what didn't work and go from there. And then we'll come up with a plan, you know, like, but every time, even failing at a Prime Day, failing at the beginning of the year is insight on what's working, what's not working, you know, and there's nothing like compliance issues. I've had this happen over and over and over, even with products that we are super, super careful with, like, let's say in lawn care or things like that with chemicals. And, you know, you have things come up and down and they can be the difference in your year being we grew by 20% or we didn't. And it's just wasn't that we didn't have the product and it wasn't there. It was that we didn't have them up and available, you know. So sometimes it's just simply, let's just try to be operationally great and stay up and available and see how great we can do, not just like pulling the miracles out. And then the other thing would be, we work with a lot of brands that aren't, in my opinion, they're not Prime Day centric type of products. Okay. Not to say that we can't sell a beautiful TV or a gadget or like something like, oh, this is Prime Day, I want to go in and buy a bunch of them. But, you know, lawn care, I don't think people are going on Prime Day to be like, I'm going to get this crazy deal on lawn care products or, you know, or men's care, certain things like that. So while we have some Prime Day rushes, we're also just not that like that FOMO product. You know, we're like a lot of our brands are
everyday stuff. Yeah.
There's like stuff that's year day in and day out. And it's not really deal centric. Mm-hmm. So that's just something that's unique maybe to our agency or like how it is. But I would say that in general, Prime Day has never been our make it or break it time of year.
Well, for anyone who needs to make it or break it in Q4, what's the best way to reach you with their questions, comments?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn pretty actively. So Andrew Morgan's on LinkedIn. I'm doing a lot of stuff with obviously AI, but building some really cool stuff that's like go-to-market strategies and like really pulling in my decade plus of knowledge into like some really cool go-to-market stuff and things like grabbing Reddit and interpreting that along with Amazon reviews and stuff like that. So I have some cool content on LinkedIn about that. Also marknology.com, MARKNOLOGY. And I'm Drew, not Mark, for everybody listening. So
right, Drew Marines.
I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, website. Would love to hear from anybody. Love to just hear like from brands, you know, it doesn't always have to be let's work together, but it's like, hey, what are you guys doing? What are you looking for in a partner? I love just strategizing and hearing, like I said, our brands are not super prime centric. I know some are. And so, it's just figuring out, hey guys, what's our plan? Where are we going? How do we get there? And start executing today, in my opinion, to be ready for October, November, December. I think we're in kind of uncharted territory on Amazon when it comes to what this year is going to look like. Years have been just, it's a roller coaster since the pandemic, really, you know, up and down. And so I think the best thing is just to be ready for anything. And, you know, it all comes down to your strategy and your preparedness. And if there's anything we can do to help, would absolutely love to.
Yeah. So, and I've already started having conversations with people about next year. So I'm looking a little bit past Q4, but including what happens in Q4 is the lead into next year. But since things are so up in the air, I think you also have to even think past Q4.
And like, more so, you are right. This is just another quarter, you know, a big quarter, but it's not, it starts right back over. And, you know, a lot of times, anyone that's been selling a while, January is still a big month for a lot of Amazon sellers because of the gift cards and the returns and then buying other stuff and things like that. And, you know, it kind of goes through these ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But we have holiday focused or gift buying focused brands. We have summer focused brands. We have spring and Easter focused brands, you know, so everybody's got something a little bit different. And if you're at Easter, let's say you're an Easter focused brand or a Halloween, what do you do with the rest of the year? And that, like, how you strategically manage inventory, how you're planning your product development, all those things come down to whether you're having a good year or not. For me, I think it's about really protecting margins this year. And like, look, if you sell less and you're having to answer to a boss about year over year, come into that meeting with at least profitability being higher or a better percentage there, right? So everybody has a little different thing to tell, but for me, it's, I want to not only get through those sales, like I mentioned, those areas where we made mistakes by giving away too much margin or discounts or a 50% friends and family or whatever. It's not just top line sales, you know, it's really understanding what deals you're offering, understanding why you're offering them. Is there a long-term strategy? We're always thinking long-term. Mm-hmm. This is just about, you know, December and then it's over. It is about next year too. And how do I have a lean inventory as things have gotten harder? How do I not overstock for the holidays? How do I not get suspended? If that happened last year, how do we get through this year and not get suspended, you know, or let's predict that. I don't know. I love it. And with every brand, it's a little bit different story. So, you know, it's really just, have your tool chest and your war chest ready to go.
Sweet. All right. Thanks. Well, Drew, as always, good talking to you. People know where to reach you. And thanks everybody for listening in. We will catch you next time. Take care.